World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning, Vietnam. How y'all doing out there? Something just hit me. I'm typing it up here on my computer. Jared got me one. I can, don't have to lean over and do this, but I can't. I got to get another tutorial here. Welcome. Welcome to all of you. God bless you. Man, we're going to get into it today. Got a lot of stuff to share with you, as always. We're going to hear from Mike Heath and how Mike's excursion into fear went yesterday. I was on the Hagman and Hagman report last night for about 10 minutes. Announcing the fact that we're on the Global Star Radio Network is honored to do that. You know, they accuse those guys of, they call it fear porn. Fear porn. Fear porn. They say that guys like me and guys like you, we market in fear porn, meaning we just market fear. And people want to come because they're motivated by fear. Tinfoil hats and all this stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? All these tinfoil hat things that we've been talking about end up becoming true. That's kind of, isn't that kind of amazing? Isn't that kind of amazing? I could take a list of things. I got a list, by the way, of conspiracy theories that ended up not being theories. Well, it is a theory, right? Because it always starts as a theory. But things that they laughed at, they said that weren't true, and they ended up being true. It's all part of the lies and deception going on in the good old U.S. of A. And I'm frustrated this morning. I'm going to try to go about four different directions, but hopefully not at the same time. Extremely frustrated this morning, again, as I've been on the internet, been watching what's going on with WikiLeaks and the information that's coming out. I don't know if you noticed this or not, they aren't denying WikiLeaks. There's no denials. John Podesta is not coming out and saying, that's true, that's all made up, that's not true. No, they're trying to shoot the messenger. What are they saying? Well, it's Russia. Russia's doing it. Russia's trying to influence our elections. They're not denying all the truth that's coming out in the WikiLeaks because they know that it's true. And what I really love about the WikiLeaks and what I really love about what's going on with the Trumpster is the actual unveiling and revealing and exposing of a true new world order. I mean, it's just falling into place. And see, the thing that's making me so angry is not the right word, frustrated. Things that's making me so frustrated is how many people just still won't wake up and understand what's going on. That we're still stuck in our little Christian boxes, and we think it's about abortion, we think it's about gay marriage, and it is. That's why I would have that Hagman clip ready to go, because I made that very clearly. Jared, see if you can find that, maybe. Jared, go to HagmanandHagman.com, and last night's show will be right there. And Jared, you fast forward it to about the 10-minute mark, and maybe we can get that thing up there and listen to it, but not yet. I guess it's interesting. We turn to 1 John. Let's get into the Bible real quick so I can build it around here, okay? 1 John 4 had an amazing thing happen again to my wife and I. I love life. I love the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. I love it. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Most of them would say, well, I just love the highs. Well, I love the lows. I don't like being in the lows, but I love what I learn when I come out of the lows. I love when I look back and understand how the Lord stretched me and how much it hurt when he stretched me, but how much better I am this morning because of the stretching I just got over the weekend. And I got up this morning, my wife and I, we've been going through something that I'm just going to leave it at that. And it was heartbreaking, to be honest with you. It's heartbreaking. It's not the end of the world. We didn't lose a child, didn't lose a grandbaby, didn't lose a business, nothing like that. But it doesn't take great traumatic things like that to break your heart. And we have walked through this weekend, for lack of a better word, just a heartbreaking experience. And we're learning from it, and it's good, and it's going to be okay, because that's what faith is all about, right? That all things work together for good. Not that everything is good, but all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So that's what faith is, believing that in the midst of this storm, that it's going to clear up. It's going to clear up, and it's going to be a pretty day when it does clear up. It doesn't make it any more fun going through the storm. Now, you can blame God while you're in the storm. It's stupid if that's what you want to do. Where's God when I need him? Well, I don't know. Hang in there. He said that you're going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death. Not actually death, but it's going to feel like death. It's a shadow there. Lays on you. The valley of the shadow of death. And when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's unbelievable, isn't it? What a concept that is. So Michelle and I, my precious little wife that I love more than anything in the world, we're one, man. We're a rib. JR, I had a JR asked me something if it was putting stress on our marriage. I say, are you kidding me? It's forging us together even more. The pressure of life, the heat of to meld us even more draws us together, not away. Because it's not a sin I did against her or a sin that she did against me. It's something that happened that we both are really kind of victims of in the midst of it, and drew us together. And something happened this morning. I woke up this morning. I slept last. Let's go there first. 1 John 4, and then we'll come back to that. Are you there with me, guys? So, this isn't long, but we talked yesterday about fear. Mike went and faced his fear yesterday. I'm going to let him talk about that. Rich has had experiences facing his fear he's told us about. By the way, if you want to call, we're going to change our system a little bit. If you see Larry there, Larry's got a number above him, 843-957-8180. Larry's going to work also as a call screener. That sounds crazy, but I don't want to get distracted picking up phones and doing all that stuff. When Larry, if you want to get in here, call that number there, 843-957-8180. 843-957-8180. Larry's got his cross hat on. His phone will ring. He'll do a little screening, and then we'll get you on the air, okay? So we're changing that a little bit. But I'm in 1 John 4. We spoke yesterday about fear, that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? And that the thing that's holding us back the most in the world is fear, and that you serve whatever you fear. You serve it. You serve whatever you fear. I'm in 1 John 4. Excuse me. Pulled up here, Jared. I got it. Beloved, believe. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to preach. Lord, don't let me preach yet. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Boy, time out. What does that tell you? See, it doesn't say believe not every person. Believe not everything you hear. Believe not everything you see. No, believe not every spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Man. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby, this is how we know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist was already at work back when John writes this. It was already at work when Paul writes 2 Thessalonians, when he tells us spirit of Antichrist was already at work back then. But you're a little of God, little children. And you've overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That tells me that there's somebody in the world. Greater is he that's in you than somebody that's in the world. Try the spirits. Go back to the beginning. Don't believe every spirit. They're the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. Boy, that's true, isn't it? So I'm going to read that again. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Young Turks don't hear us. They don't get it. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth God is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. I'm sorry, for God is love. By the way, there's a scripture they use. God is love. People build a whole doctrine on that right there, don't they, baby? And this was manifest the love of God towards us. In other words, here's how God's love showed up. Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Cool. So far, so good. So herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Remember, he's talking to brethren. No man has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfect in us. 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us his spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Stay with me. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love. There it is again. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Okay, here we go. Here is our love made perfect, boys, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Say it again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Look, because fear hath torment. Let that sit there a minute. Fear has torment. Somebody raise their hand. Say, I got that one, coach. I got that one. Huh? Fear is torment. Fear brings torment. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love overcomes fear. Here's what I want you to see this morning, because it's real in my life. Fear is a spirit. It's a spirit not of this world. It's another spirit. And it's a paralyzing spirit. It's a, as Wayne texted us yesterday, fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Mike talked about fear yesterday. My wife and I, we were under such torment this weekend. Not that we were afraid, but there must be some fear hanging around because we were tormented. Now, guys, I woke up this morning and I came down early and I began to do prep on the show. Michelle always sleeps a little bit later. She came down about an hour later. And you know what she said? She says, honey, that spirit has lifted. My audio is not broken. I want you to think about that. And I knew it too. Because when I woke up this morning, that oppression that had been laying on us like a blanket all weekend was gone. That torment was gone. And see, the battle in the mind all weekend was not to give in to it. And all the spirit of fear wanted to do was to make us as miserable as it possibly could. That spirit of fear knew it wasn't going to break through. My faith wasn't going to fail me. In fact, Michelle told me that she constantly was repeating verses in her head about fear, constantly fighting back against that spirit that was laying over the top of us. It's gone this morning. It's gone. Fear hath torment. Michelle shared with me this morning, I'm not at liberty to say who, but a person we know has trouble sleeping at night because had a bout with cancer and lays her head on the pillow. Fear comes upon her that that cancer might come back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever lay your head on your pillow at night and it's just you and your thoughts? Actually, it's not even you and your thoughts. It's you and the Holy Spirit are there. And we have the ability to take control, take authority over those, have a peaceful night's sleep. But she doesn't know how to do it. She doesn't have the spiritual understanding to do it. The devil's greatest weapon against us, two of them, deception, number one. And it branches out in lies and fear. Lies and fear. It's the greatest weapon that the enemy has, fear. And fear hath torment. And most of us are given into it, and that's keeping us from walking more victoriously in the Lord. You know, best life now, so to speak. Somebody tried to pop in here. Who was it? Go ahead. No? So, Mike, give us your experience with your fear yesterday as you went up there to Maine. And because I know, guys, a lot of people prayed for you, and we were anxious to hear what the Lord showed you, what you learned through the experience.
Well, I learned that people are they push politics away and they'll sign a petition just to get rid of you. I had some good talks with people. I ended up not being as afraid as I thought I might be. And
it's always that way once you confront it. The fear flees, man.
Yeah.
We shall not flee. Fear flees.
Yeah, it went well. I was naive. I thought the United States Postal Office, I thought a post office where it's a federal entity would honor the First Amendment and would have to. And since I was carrying an official petition that was certified by the state of Maine, I thought it was a no-brainer to be in front of the building in the parking lot approaching people. And I walked into the post office and the guy, this is way out in the Willywax of Maine. I mean, literally the end of the road in America, at the top northernmost part of the country, and a little place called St. Francis, the last post office in the country.
Wow.
And I walked in, and the guy was scared to death. And I hadn't even told him what I was there to petition about. I said, I'm here to petition. I got to call my supervisor. So he called down to Fort Kent, and the supervisor, a guy named Rudy, says, oh no, no way. He can't do that.
At the post office, right? Where everybody comes and does their official business. You can't be doing petitions at the post office.
I thought, jeez. I was flabbergasted. So then I went out.
You can't pray on the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States. They'll throw you in jail if you pray on the steps of the Supreme Court. Go ahead.
So I went outside and surveyed the situation and realized the property was such that I couldn't get close to people. So somebody came along who was a sporter and who knew the owner of the liquor store, which is the last country store in America and sells liquor. So I gathered signatures in front of the liquor store.
So you can petition at the liquor store, but not at the post office. Is that right?
That's right.
And your overall response to to the people, Mike, what'd you learn?
Most people, signed it. A couple people were strongly with me. Nobody was strongly against me, which I kind of expected where I was, this tiny little rural town. And I had two women, probably in their 40s. One of them was a notary who said, no way, I don't support you. And another woman who signed a petition to get rid of me, and I later learned is on the other side from somebody who knew her. That was it. There was no protesters, no anything.
So you faced your fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
You faced your fear. Not afraid to go do it again. Doesn't mean you want to go do it again. It means you're not afraid to do it again. Because hear me.
Amen.
That beast will stick his head up every time. Every time you go to do something. Salesman, I was a salesman, I guess, for a while. Salesman's greatest opposition is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of rejection. They're just not going to go say. You're just not going to go ask. Because they don't go ask, they don't make the sale. A guy can't get a date because he's afraid to ask. I mean, it's just fears everywhere. 365 times we learned yesterday in the Bible, the Lord says, fear not. 365 times. That must be pretty important. Stop being afraid. What are you afraid of? What are we supposed to be afraid of? Fear of the Lord. So when the fear of the Lord and the fear of the man come in conflict, this is a pretty easy choice. I got in a discussion with somebody yesterday. It was more than a discussion. I was in control of the conversation, if you know what I'm talking about. And I made it perfectly clear that a man who does not know where to put his sexual appendage is not going to influence me in anything I think, say, or do. And I will not remain quiet just because he's squealing. You guys, you follow me? You follow me? That guy's a pervert. And I'm not going to be afraid of that pervert and his perverted actions and allow him to silence me because I'm afraid that he might come on my Facebook page or make a video or flip me off or leave a message on my phone. And when we get beyond that, when we quit fearing man, the scripture says that the fear of man is a snare. When we can get to that point where we get our foot out of that stinking trap, maybe we'll be able to push the gospel forward. Because the enemy, all he wants to do is win. That's all he wants to do. Why don't we want to win? And if, in fact, we're 4th and 1 on the goal line and we got to get the ball into the end zone, I promise you there's going to be some big, ugly, mean dudes right at the half-yard line trying to prevent you to getting the ball in the end zone. And what we have to do in order to score is we have to overcome evil with good and get the ball into the end zone. But we want to love the defensive tackles. We want to love the linebackers who want to knock our helmets off. We want to show them the love of Jesus and take a knee so they win. I'm sick of it, man. Sick of it. I'm sick of the defeatist attitude in the church. Didn't mean to yell at you, Mike. We're proud of you that you went and did it. And we're trying to encourage others to do it. That's why I'm talking about our boot camps. Our boot camp isn't for sissies. If you're a wuss, don't come. If you're a wuss and you don't want to be a wuss, then come. But if you're happy sitting in your little church waiting for the rapture, don't come. Don't even bring that contentious spirit. Because we're going to get men together and we're going to fellowship one another. And we're going to know that we have each other's backs and we are going to build an army. I know right now, if I have something, I can call Rich and he'll come. I know Stephen would come. I know Mike would come. I know all these guys would come. I know they would come. And they know I'll come to them. How many of you have something like that in your church? Can you name 4 guys? Hey, how about this? 2 guys. Wait a minute. Can you name 1 guy in your church you know has your back come hell or high water? And I'll bet this, more likely, some lost guy you work with probably has your back more than any Christian you ever ran into.
Amen. Somebody say,
thanks, Rich. I was going to say, somebody say amen. Because that is the truth. That is the truth. We've been so sissified and wussified. And I'm going to shift gears here. Anybody want to add something here? Again, if you want to jump in here, Larry, you see Larry with a hat on there. Numbers 8439578180. If you want to try to get on there, Larry, you'll screen the call. We're at war. We're at war. Man, it's 7:23 already. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I have great frustration this morning. And I have great frustration at what I call pietistic Christians. What's a pietistic Christian? A pietistic Christian is a holier-than-thou Christian. I'm more righteous, therefore, this is how I'm going to vote. Say, yes, but wait a minute. Either Hillary's going to win or Trump's going to vote. I don't care. I can't in good conscience vote for either one of them. Well, one of them's going to be president. Either Hillary or, yeah, but I can't in good conscience. I can't. Do you understand you're voting for you're voting for a fallen man no matter what. You're voting for a fallen man no matter what. It only takes one sin, according to the scripture. It only takes one sin to separate you from God. You say, yeah, but Trump's got an armload. I used to have an armload. I probably still do. And the idea that oh, my goodness. Coach, remain calm. Western civilization I'm going to show you some of these WikiLeaks things today that you're not going to believe. And yet, we still have closet Trumpsters. In other words, maybe people are going to vote for Trump, but they're not telling anybody. Guys, I'm losing friends because of the positions I take. And you know why I'm losing friends? Because they don't understand the big picture. They don't understand what's going on in America. And as Larry said yesterday, we gotta stop the bleeding before we clean up the mess. And Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump will be president of the United States. They will be. They will be. And you're going to take your vote and you're going to vote for somebody who has no chance. Oh, I hear you. Well, the Lord can work a miracle. The Lord could use our vote. Well, yeah, he could. But that ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Wake up. It ain't going to happen. Probably something worse is going to happen. That's what we deserve, something worse. And so we have Hillary Clinton and we have Donald Trump. That's it. There's no other option. And you're going to be holy and righteous as that. Well, I can't vote for either one of them. You can't. You can't. She's a crook. You know she's a crook while in office, a crook. Men died because of her. No men died because of Donald Trump. No men. We want to compare sins. I don't even want to compare sins. And who asked for forgiveness? I can't vote for Trump. He said he didn't need forgiven. I used to think that. We had a line that we used. I said, you know, I'm not moral, but I have standards. We used to laugh about that. I have standards. I'm not maybe not real moral. We're in a hurt. Larry, did anyone jump on there? I saw you were on that phone. I didn't know if you wanted to get somebody. Stephen, what do you got to say there, man?
One thing I was going to ask before you switch subjects was, can you help people understand the difference between the fear of the Lord and the tormenting spirit of fear?
Good question. A fear of the Lord. No, you mean just natural fear, Stephen? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Larry's got his finger up. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, Robert from Georgia is on the line.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me try to answer Steve there. Fear is a natural. Natural. You have to have natural fear. You have to. Some people are scared of dogs. They have an unnatural fear of dogs. They can't get over that fear. Fear is a protective mechanism that we all have, fear. God gave you fear to protect you, to know you're in a tough situation. Be careful. Don't walk under. They're cutting a tree limb off. Don't walk under. Just that stuff. Dogs growl at you. Have fear. That's natural. But to fear, false fear, is to sit in your house and be afraid of of the unknown. You don't even know what's out there, and you're afraid of it. You're afraid of how others are going to react, and it paralyzes you because you're afraid of what might be outside the door. You don't know if it's out there. See a dog growling, you can see that dog, and you know you ought to be afraid. But you see a friend, and you want to share the gospel with them, and you don't because you don't know how they're going to react. They're not growling at you. They're not on the chain jumping at you. You just look at them, and you assume, and so you fear. You're fearful. You don't do it. That's a spirit of fear. And the more you give into that, the more that spirit of fear becomes familiar and feels comfortable, and you become comfortable with it as well. That's the way I would describe it. Robert, you're up there with us. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, everybody.
How you doing, bud?
I want to tell Mike I'm proud of him because he made the first step. And one thing that I remember when I first started watching you was talking about stepping out of the boat. And I have never been more charged than when I went to Ohio with y'all and stood with y'all and walked the streets of the Sodom and Prey. And Brother Larry can tell you, we weren't afraid. We walked through that group, and I've never been so charged in my life, and I'm just ready for the next episode of what God's going to do. And God bless each and every one of you, and may he give you the power to step out of the boat. Amen.
Amen, brother. And Robert, Mike, that's also why he tells us, he sends us out with two by two, because you're to encourage one another, see? You're supposed to be able to encourage one another as you go. And there's strength in numbers. That's why he gave us, it's not good the man would be alone. That's why I have a wife. I'm not alone. She encourages me. We encourage one another. I gave her a big hug and said a big prayer over her this morning. I'm recovering. I love her. We're in this thing together. And
We got to overcome that spirit of fear. Bless you, Robert. We love you, man. Rich said you're probably going to call him, give him heaven later on. So do that. Hey, anybody else wants to jump in there, Larry? Get that number up there again for me. If you want to call in, that's the way to be able to do it. There it is, 843-957-8180. And Larry will screen you. Yeah, that's better, Larry. Larry will screen you and we'll get you on the air. 843-957-8180. For those of you maybe watching this the first time, you catch us here at CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com. And if you would ever want to be on the show with us like here, we have room for 10 people to get in here. That's how it is. You go to CoachDaveLive.com and you'll see a little link that says Join the Huddle. And you click on that and you can be on here. But you have to be one of 10. And once we get 10, it's what we call a full queue. And the only way you can get in is if somebody else drops out. So love to have you be able to join us here.
We're selling slots.
Yeah. Well, Hillary, I'm going to donate it to the Clinton Foundation and then they'll sell the slots for us. Okay. So, my Trump rant is that, JR, you know this, you guys all know this. There's nobody more pro-life than me. Nobody. Well, there may be, but I walk it out. I understand the importance of abortion. I understand that. I understand the importance of personal morality. I understand that. I understand fornication and adultery. I understand all that stuff. I understand it all. But we're in an unusual situation here in America, my friends. This is not just good versus evil, although it is. We're at a point that pietistic Christians, holier than thou Christians, say, I can't vote for him because it goes against my conscience. I honor your conscience. Do what you want. I honor that. But the truth of it is, Trump or Hillary is going to be president. And so, knowing that, I think it's important that we create a bigger picture. So maybe if you see a broader picture, your conscience would not be bothered by voting for Trump. I'm not asking you to vote against your conscience. I'm asking you to expand your realm of knowledge so that your conscience can more perfectly screen the evidence. Does that make sense out there, guys? As you get more and more evidence, now your conscience, your perspective changes a little bit. That's where I am. I don't support Trump and the stuff he's done. Hey, Jared, did I send that? I didn't send that one to you. I'm going to send it to you right now, Jared. I want you to put this one up on the screen, right? First one. Let's see, forward. Sorry, man. I thought I did this at the last minute, Jared, or I would have had it to you already.
Mr. Anderson is on the line.
All right. Bring him up while Jared's getting this ready.
You're on.
Morning, Mr. Anderson.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, brothers. Well, we were on fear, and I just wanted to share a thought about it. This past weekend, I had to share a message at church, and I don't do that frequently. And I was pretty nervous about it, and I guess you could say nervous is a bit of fear. And a friend of mine asked me, well, what are you afraid of? And I said, well, I'm standing in front of people speaking for the Lord. Nervous because I don't want to make a mistake. And I don't want myself speaking. I want the Holy Spirit giving me the words. And to me, the fear of the Lord is a powerful thing. And the Bible says, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that little tidbit.
So Kevin, the scriptures tell us very clearly that you, Kevin, are going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them. See? Now we know this. They're not going to like it. Guys, listen, this is critical to understand as well. Anger is a secondary emotion that comes from fear. When you tell somebody the truth, they immediately get angry because now you are forcing them to deal with something that they've always believed or truism or something they've built their life on. And when you tell them the truth, it brings fear, and then fear results in anger. And if you'd understand that, when you see somebody that gets angry, you can disarm them by asking them this: what are you afraid of? Don't ask them what you're mad about, because they'll go on to some tangent and say, what are you afraid of? And that'll get to the heart of it, because anger is a secondary emotion off of fear. And so Kevin, Mr. Anderson, was worried about speaking the truth because he was afraid he was going to make somebody angry. See? Fear of making somebody angry. Then we might be rejected. They may not like us. We might lose friends. That's it. Okay? Praise the Lord. 843-957-8180. I want you to see this. Okay. I don't know what... What's that? I'm sorry. This is a WikiLeaks dump. Citigroup Jew Michael Froman picks most of Obama's key cabinet positions. I'm just reading what it says. If some of you are offended by Jew, I'm sorry. Out of WikiLeaks, we found this. This is unbelievable. This email was 2008. Hey, Rich, I'm trying to broaden that box for people. You understand? I'm trying to get them to see what's really going on here. Let's look. This proves yet again that the monkey terrorists in the White House are talking about Obama. His Citigroup picked most of Obama's key cabinet members. Let's go on down, Jared. Go on down a little bit if we can. We could click where it says here and here, but I don't want to take the time. This is from the New Republic. He wrote an email to Podesta on October 6, 2008 with the subject lists, and Froman used a Citigroup email attached. He attached three documents, a list of women for top jobs, a list of non-white candidates, and a sample outline of 31 cabinet-level positions and who would fill them. If we clicked on that, it would show you the list. This is WikiLeaks. It would show us the list that Citigroup sent to the president and said, this should be your cabinet. This should be your cabinet. The bankers, Citigroup, picking the cabinet. Oh, Jared's showing you. Here's the attached document, okay? There's the email. I don't want to get you all caught up. You can Google it. We'll make all this stuff available for you. Let's keep on going down, Jared. It said the cabinet right here. Stop there, Jared. The cabinet list ended up being almost entirely on the money. Citigroup's list included Eric Holder as head of the Justice Department, Janet Napolitano for Homeland Security, Robert Gates for Defense, Ron Emanuel, Chief of Staff, Peter Orszag, Office of Management and Budget, Arnie Duncan for Education, Eric Shinseski for Veterans Affairs, Kathleen Sebelius for Health and Human Services, Melody Barnes for Domestic Policy Council, and more. For the Treasurer's three possibilities, for the Treasury, there were three possibilities on the list: Robert Rubin, Larry Summers, and Timothy Geithner. Here's what I'm getting you to see. This new world order picked Obama's cabinet. Do you understand that? The men behind the curtain told the president who the cabinet was going to be. Not Obama. No. WikiLeaks proves it. You're not going to see this anywhere. I got the links. Email me. Say, Coach, send me those links. I don't believe it. I'll send them to you. You don't want to believe it. You don't want to. And so if you'd understood what's really going on in America, that America, this Christian nation, is so far gone, that what we see now competing are dark forces that we can't even begin to understand. That's what's going on. But they'll tell you it's a conspiracy theory, and they'll get you in church, and they won't tell you the truth about the new world order and everything that's going on. They won't tell you any of that. They won't tell you any of that. That's why people say, well, I can't vote my conscience. We're talking about the destruction of Western civilization. I've been trying to tell you that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, my goodness. Here's another good one. Hey, Jared, let's go to the stuff I sent you. Here's a good one. New World Order. Go to the third one, Jared. It says Rothschild's fundraiser. I'll send you all this. Say, who's the Rothschilds? Well, they're the New World Order. They're the money people, the New World Order. What date is this? Why, October 4th, 2016. The Rothschilds hold a $100,000 a plate dinner fundraiser for guess who? $100,000 a plate fundraiser. Who's the Rothschilds? Why, they're the ones who are controlling the banks. Who's Citigroup? Citigroup, they're a bank. Huh. And what did Citigroup do? The bankers, oh, they picked Obama's cabinet. Oh. Now, is Citigroup and the Rothschilds, and are they holding fundraisers for Trump? No. So it seems to me that maybe some are lined up on this side and some are lined up on this side. And then we've got 16 other candidates that they're ignoring because they'll never be president of the United States. So we have to make a decision, Christians. Where are we? Which side are we on? You don't have to read that article. We'll send it to you. $100,000 plate. The bankers for Hillary. All right, Jared. Am I doing okay? Anybody got anything to say? Sarge, I feel like you're cooking a little bit. No? You all right?
Yeah, well, I just put in the chat, since we're talking fundraisers, Mike and I were talking, Catholic Charities is doing a $3,000 plate fundraiser for Hillary in D.C. in a, next week.
How about that, huh? Boy, dark. Okay, Jared, let's go down here. Jared, let's go down. Oh, it says murder, the last one, murder. This is just a short little story. WikiLeaks. Huh? They had this guy killed. They had him killed. It's in WikiLeaks. It's in WikiLeaks. This is on Lou Rockwell. This is a libertarian website. There's proof in there. They called it, scroll down just a little bit, Jared. They call it WetWorks. I think it's what it was. John Podesta. Look at this. Keep going down, Jared. I'm sorry. They speak in a code. Going down. It may not be there. We may have to click on the other one. Let's go to where it says link on that one. Hit that one, Jared. See what it shows us. Here. No, that's not it either. They go to the actual email. We'll send it to you. Wait a minute. Here we are. They called it WetWorks, WetWorks, which is a term for a mafia hit. Now, why did they do that? You ready, JR? Get your tinfoil hat on. They thought there was a chance that this election might end up in front of the Supreme Court. And they just wanted to make sure that what happened before didn't happen again. Have you guys seen this email? Have you guys seen this off of WikiLeaks? Now listen, again, they're not even denying it. Podesta, John Podesta's not even denying it. He's just saying the Russians are doing it. The Russians are doing it. It's the Russians. It's the Russians. When right there in his own, they said it's going to be a bad night. It's going to be a bad night, they say. It's going to be a bad night. In other words, crap's going to hit the fan after this guy gets rubbed off. I've got it somewhere, Jared. I can't believe this tells you something, isn't it? You can't find it. You can't find it on the internet because they won't let you know about it. They killed him. They killed him. Tinfoil hat. Hey, we'll send you the link. I want to move on, Jared. Was this it? No, I wish I... Jared, maybe while this other one's playing, you can find that thing. It frustrates me. I'll find it for us. Hey, Jared, let's go here, buddy. Let's play this video. It's 7 minutes. Donald Trump against the New World Order. We're talking about whether or not Americans are going to regain control of our country. That's what we're talking about. It's beyond abortion. It's beyond same-sex marriage. It's beyond all that stuff. There, George Bush, Grandpa Bush, President Grandpa Bush, in 1988, talked about the New World Order. We're 20 years down the road. Play that, Jared. This is where the battle lies.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
Would you have the courage to stand up against the new world order?
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Would you have the courage it would take to look the new world order in the face, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Bushes or the Clintons, and tell them exactly what you think of them.
Leave here! Leave Chile right now! Leave Chile! Leave Chile! We don't want your war government! Leave Chile right now! You also, you're a traitor to Chile! Mr. Agustin Edwards, you're a traitor to Chile, okay? You're a traitor to Chile! What you're doing right now, okay? 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 You know everything. You know everything. You're participating with him. You're participating with him in this. Your world government will fail, okay?
Well, that's exactly what happened on Sunday night. You can say what you want about Donald Trump, but one thing is absolutely certain. The man has courage. I don't think the significance of the exchange with Hillary Clinton at Sunday night's debate can be overstated. The statements of fact that Trump shared are statements of fact that millions of Americans want to say to Hillary's face. But Trump is the one that said them on a global stage. You have to realize that Bill and Hillary Clinton are members of a global cartel, an international banking criminal syndicate. And standing up to them and speaking truth to them on a global stage is a moment of historical significance.
You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails, and then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done.
As I recently discussed with James Perloff, Hillary Clinton is Rothschild's choice for president. Lynn Forrester de Rothschild has even recently come out publicly to endorse Hillary Clinton for president, saying she'd be better for business than Trump.
She's better because she's lived her life trying to figure out how to make life better for people who are struggling.
And as Perloff noted in that interview, Evelyn de Rothschild and Lynn Forrester de Rothschild honeymooned at the White House by invitation of Bill and Hillary Clinton when Bill was president. For Trump to stand up and tell Hillary Clinton that she's a criminal who ought to be in jail for her crimes is certainly an epic moment in American history.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
We just want to let you know the New World Order has no legitimacy, and that we as a people are not afraid, and we are waking up to the robber barons and the big banksters who are looting this economy with the Federal Reserve.
Will it amount to a hill of beans? Not if Hillary gets back into office. And according to polls, CNN is claiming that Hillary has opened an 11-point lead against Trump because of the 11-year-old video that was leaked. And incidentally, isn't it funny that Billy Bush was the entertainment personality involved in that conversation? His uncle is George H.W. Bush, and his cousin is George W. Bush, both of whom were presidents, both of whom are part of this New World Order cabal, one of whom used to be the director of the CIA. Do people really not understand that the very essence of our nation has been under attack by these same people, these same bankers, and these same bankster puppets for decades? Going back to the day they blew Kennedy's head off, these are the powers that have corrupted American government.
Get lost, please.
How does it feel winning the Freedom Award when you're wanted as a mass murderer and wanted in many countries and butchered millions of people? How does it feel? You know it's a lie.
You self-serving coward, get lost.
I'm not a coward. You know this Freedom Award's a lie. And you're wanted for mass murder in different countries. You know it's a lie.
These are the people, the deep state in control of the U.S. government, undermining the Constitution, undermining rule of law.
The Clinton machine is at the center of this power structure. We've seen this firsthand in the WikiLeaks documents in which Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of U.S. sovereignty in order to enrich these global financial powers, her special interest friends, and her donors. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
And when Lynn Forrester de Rothschild says Hillary's good for business, she's saying that Hillary's good for bankers' business, central banking business. Standing in opposition to that, whether you like him or not, is Trump. And on Sunday night's debate, make no mistake about it, Trump made himself a marked man. So much so that I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if sometime in the future, Trump's airliner was taken down by a surface-to-air missile, which will conveniently be blamed on ISIS, just like the 400 American surface-to-air missiles taken from Libya during the terror attack at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, the same surface-to-air missiles that Clinton was trying to supply to ISIS forces themselves. The Clinton crime family is rivaled only by these puppet masters to whom they report, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Bush family. But still, CNN, representing the powers that be, these same bankers and banker families that the Clintons claim as friends, will tell the American people that Trump is now 11 points behind and his campaign is imploding. The New World Order will steal this election. Hillary Clinton will be placed into the White House. Because Rothschild's puppet is about to become president.
Okay, Jared. You guys think I'm crazy? Maybe I'm not asking this right. Can anybody refute what we just saw there? Can anybody refute that? Can anybody refute the fact that in the United States of America, there was no income tax till 1913, that there was no Federal Reserve till 1913, that from 1913 on, with the slavish Internal Revenue Service, which isn't even a government, an American government institution, we've been robbed, and everything has been driven by money, the love of money being the root of all evil. And to understand, you say what you want to, that Trump's a stalking horse. I hear it over and over and over. Do you understand? He called out names. He just didn't say those people and there are forces. And he called out names. And he told who those people were tied to. And I believe, whatever you believe, whatever you want, I believe he has laid his life on the line. That's what I believe. And those of you who think it's just a game and it's just about abortion, and it's, I said on the Hagman and Hagman show last night, Doug Hagman said, you know, Hillary's the queen of abortion. There'll be more and more abortions if Hillary's elected. I said, oh, no. You got to move beyond that. If Hillary's elected, they're going to be aborting guys like me. They're going to be aborting live babies. This is bigger than abortion. This is bigger than homosexual marriage. This is the man behind the curtains and who are pulling those strings. 843-957-8180 if you want to get in here. Hey, you guys want to get in here? Somebody help me here, Sarge. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. I feel like I don't care. I know I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
I research this stuff. I don't just throw a video up.
Yes, Sarah and I are bantering on chat too. It even goes deeper because I believe that where the orders are coming from are straight out of the Vatican in the Black Pope, which is the Jesuit general. I think they're in control of all the world intelligence agencies in terms of gathering the intel that they have. They have the oldest and the longest running intelligence apparatus in the world. If you study anything about the Jesuit background, read Malachi Martin, who was murdered over it. You'll find out there is a method to the madness, and they're calling shots. And the guys that are in the positions of power, whether they be bloodline or money people, they're all being manipulated by this strong guy that nobody seems to know anything about.
Hey, guys, this is moving beyond conspiracy theories, isn't it? Aren't you beginning to see this as something nefarious, something extremely evil going on behind the scenes? This is more than just Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals. And if that's where if we get stuck in that box, that's how we're going to vote, if we think that's what it is. And it's not George H.W. told us it's about a new world order. He gave us those words. He gave it to us. And now the presidency has been passed from a Bush to a Clinton twice, to a Bush, and now they want to give us another Clinton, or it would have been a Bush had Trump not stepped in and messed everything up. Think about that over 30 years. Bush, Clinton twice, Bush twice, and almost a Clinton and a Bush again. And not realize something unbelievably big and evil is going on around us. And to say, Christians, I can't vote. I can't vote. My conscience won't let me pull. I can't pull the lever for. Well, I can pull the lever for Donald Trump because I see, hear me, the greater evil at work. This isn't the lesser of two evils. There's a much, much greater evil, a destructive evil out there that we're letting get away. I'm sorry, Larry, I stepped on you. Morning, George.
Good morning.
No, Bill.
Yeah, Bill. Bill, Bill's online. I'm sorry, Bill. You're up, brother.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, all. Hey, Coach, remember when you got here with us at our conference and Ken Bates, with the other speaker, he's from Belfast, Ireland. He came to our Bible study on Monday night, and he related the story of how the Lord turned the Brexit connection for the conservatives for to get Britain out of the EU. He said they sent a torrential rain to London, which is predominantly Muslim, and these people could not get out of their houses to go vote. And so I pray that I don't believe the British people are any more righteous or than we are. So maybe I let's pray that Yahweh God has mercy upon us and works supernaturally to keep Hillary out and Justin also well.
Amen, Bill. And you broke up a little bit there. I followed you, so let me take it here. I only got 4 minutes left, hey, fellas. The American election is not about America. I'm going to say that again because you don't get it. The American election is not about America. America is the last vestige standing between complete globalism and global domination. This isn't about America. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? This election is not about America. This election isn't even about abortion. It isn't even about homosexual marriage. It isn't even about WikiLeaks. It isn't even about any of that stuff. It's about what George Grandpa Bush told us, the New World Order. They've been planning it for 100 years, and now they think they are at the end game. And their end game is Hillary Clinton in the White House doing the bidding of her backers. Most of them, not even Americans. Open your eyes. It's an eternal struggle. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman are in battle over control of the world. America just happens to be the last chip standing. It's all on the line now. It's the Super Bowl now. They win America. It's over. And you say what you want to. Trump is standing between the New World Order and America. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. And we have to become more bold and say, thanks, Bill. I don't know if I said that to you or not. Anybody? Anybody think I'm wrong? Think I'm crazy, Rich? Do you think I'm crazy, George? Think I'm crazy out there? Open your eyes!
You know, I sort of look at it, Dave, as they've sort of accomplished their goal of dividing the kingdom.
Yeah.
And, you know, we go to Matthew 24 and it says kingdom will rise against kingdom. Yeah. I think we're going to see that no matter who wins. The damage, they have divided our country right down the middle. And that was planned from the onset.
Look how they've divided the church, because the church was the bastion that held everything back. They've divided the church. And we've got the church so focused on the fact that their vote is so righteous that they can't vote for a man who's has strip clubs. I can't vote for a man who has strip clubs either, unless he's going to get somebody who's going to burn down the whole damn city. Then I'd vote for the strip club owner. If he preserves the city, that's where I think we are. I don't care. Hey, listen. If you're pissed at me, you ain't my friend anyway. We got a phone right there. You can call and you can tell me how much I'm full of it if you want to. I'm just trying to get you to broaden your horizons and open your eyes and see what is going on. And we need about 4 hours every day for this show because we're just getting warmed up and it's time to go away. Folks, pray that the Lord opens your eyes and broadens your horizon and you begin to see what's really going on. That the devil and his minions are running the spread offense, baby. They are running the spread offense, trying to attack every possible gap that they can. And here we are, our team, we're in the prevent defense, praying the clock runs out, and they're eating up yardage every time they snap the ball. Hey, guys, they're on the 2-yard line, last play. We're going to tackle them, or we're going to tell them Jesus loves them and let them score a touchdown. God bless you. We'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.